You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast with Ron Kitchens, CEO of Southwest Michigan First. My name's Amanda Harrison. As you know, we just celebrated the 4th of July, also known as Independence Day, and as a sidebar, one of my favorite holidays of all time. So I'm sad that it's over, but in the spirit of continuing the celebration, I've got several questions for Ron, all relating back to this idea of country and patriotism. So let's go for it and see where the conversation takes us. Ron, let's start with this. In general, what does it mean to be patriotic and love your country? And what does that have to do, if anything, with leadership?
So for me, loving your country and loving your place is an interesting concept. America is an ideal. So I love Americans. I love the fact that you can move to Germany, but you'll never be a German. You can move to Guatemala, but you'll never be a Guatemalan. You can move to Canada and you'll never be a Canadian. You move to America, you're an American. Well, we have some rules. You got to take a test and you got to pay your taxes. But you do those pretty simple things, you're an American. And you're not a hyphenated American. You're an American. And with that comes some pretty incredible responsibilities of citizenship. This is an advanced citizenship in America. We expect a lot out of you to do that. And because of that, I think that's the greatness of our community. That's why philanthropy is head and shoulders above the rest of the world in America. So this is a great time to reflect on what it means to be an American.
I love that. Great opening. And I know you, Ron, to be incredibly patriotic. So my question back to you is why? When people today are criticizing us for certain policies or certain government structures, what makes you keep your love for this country so strong?
I don't know if we're the only place, but we're the only place I know that you can come land on our shores with a few bucks in your pocket and you can achieve any dream. I got to serve a few years ago in the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year evaluation program. And I'm talking to the man next to me. He shows up as a 20-year-old with less than $100 in his pocket. And today he has 1,000 employees and is on everybody's list of richest Michiganders. That can only happen in America. It can only happen, the stories of the people and their successes only happen in America. And you know, there's always the anomaly. You know, I like to believe that I'm not an anomaly, but I come from a background where neither of my parents graduated from the eighth grade. My father was illiterate, and because of that, he was killed in an industrial accident because he simply couldn't read the sign that said, "Don't do this." Those are the stories that usually happen and people get written off and they end up in prison or they end up in a terrible life. But yet I've achieved all of these great things. And as I talk to other leaders, I find they have similar backgrounds too. Well, that can happen in America. It doesn't happen in other places. And so I feel I owe this country and the people of this country a great debt. And I get up every day knowing that what my family has and what I have is directly attributable to the place I was born in the world and the time in which I was born into. And with that comes much responsibility to both lift others up, but create a place for America to be recognized. You know, I've shared before, I'd love to be, when I'm done with economic development, an ambassador or run a global philanthropic group so I can spend time internationally really sharing the greatness of America with people that may have a misconception about what we do and who we are.
Yeah, I love this quote by Woodrow Wilson. It says, "Sometimes people call me an idealist. Well, that's the way I know I'm an American. America is the only idealistic nation in the world." And that speaks a lot to what you are saying and why you love this country so much. So you mentioned that one of your dream jobs is to serve as an ambassador for the United States to a foreign country. Why? What makes you want to go to those other countries and tell our story?
Because when I travel, and I'm blessed, I've gotten to travel a lot, both for business and personally. You know, as you get to know people, you find there are a lot of misconceptions about America and about Americans. Some of them are our fault. Some of them are, you know, it's easier to tell the man bites dog story than the truth. But we're a great place who lifted up the world. We're a great place that when there's a natural disaster, it's the Americans and the philanthropy of America that come in first. We're that place that spends less than 1% of its federal budget on building other countries, but is the place that's the greatest philanthropist around the world when it comes to those countries. And so we've got to do a better job of not allowing this nation to be defined by geopolitics, you know, by presidents who change every 4 or 8 years, by partisan things. But in fact, as Bob Goff would say, you know, for us to be judged by our love, not by our politics.
Yeah, I think you and I would agree that America is the greatest country in the world. And you know that I've caught the political bug a little bit, but we've always got room for improvement. And we should always be looking for ways to be better and never fully satisfied. So what can we as leaders in any sector of work do to help better our country?
Mark Twain said that travel is fatal to prejudice. If we sit in our own little corner of the world and don't get out in the world and be good stewards of America's image when we travel, if we don't go learn about other people, then ignorance is our enemy. So we are a great country, but there are other people doing things incredibly well and cool that we can learn from. A few years ago, I had a chance to spend some time in Israel. What an incredible place. Was not at all what I thought I was getting myself into. And by the way, the food was incredible. I would do the flight just for the meals. But you only know those things if you go there, experience it. But you also have to make a point to meet people beyond the tourist gates. You know, Lynn and I, when we were first married, so that's, gosh, 24 years ago, went on a trip to Jamaica. And they had a program at the time, I don't know if they still have it or not, that the Jamaican Travel Council ran called Meet the Locals. The whole idea was to get you outside of your resort so you could meet people who shared similar experiences to kind of build those trade responsibilities and those opportunities. It was an incredible experience, and we built relationships that we had for a decade there, sharing things, and even hosted one of the families that we met there, came to visit us as they were going across America. And so you learn those things, and you're burdened with knowledge by simply opening yourself up to that. And I think we've got to do a better job of traveling to remove the prejudice, both our own and the prejudice that people feel about Americans.
Yeah, absolutely. What about what we can do here? So I know we've talked about this before, you and I, but there's a lot of political fire that people are saying on all sides of the issue. So I know that's one thing that we can improve, but what else can we do in this country if you can't leave to travel?
Yeah, I think we've got to be active learners. And that means not getting all of your media from one source, whether it's one source on the right or one source on the left. One of my favorite magazines is called The Week. And the reason I like it is because for every story, they give you three versions. So a version that's very right, a version that's very left, and a version that they believe is moderate. And by reading all three, you get a really incredible perception. But they do both local, so U.S.-based stories, and they do international stories. I learn more from that, but I have to be an active learner to do that. I have to make that decision to do that. We got to vote. I got to spend this weekend with my brother, who is retired from the Air Force and still, even in his retirement, works as a contractor for the Air Force in cybersecurity. And my brother's a disabled veteran. And to spend that time with him and know the hardship that men and women every day go through, and it seems a little squishy or a little emotional to say, put their life on the line for my right to vote. They put their life on the line for my right to vote. And the fact that we have elections, we had one in May here in Michigan that had 20% turnout. We should be embarrassed by that. No wonder the rest of the world thinks we're unengaged, you know, more people have opinions and will spout those every place they hear, but don't take the time to go to the ballot box. I don't understand that. I think it should be a point of personal pride that you get out and vote. And I don't care how you vote, just go out and do it and really have an opinion on our country. You know, love is a key. We all love this country. We love our families. But if we treated our political dialogue with the respect that our nation deserves, that the Declaration of Independence and our flag deserve, and treated those who disagreed with us with the respect of those other two symbols, we'd get a lot more done in this country, and we'd get a lot more enjoyment about it. You can't be a leader and disrespect those around you and expect that your leadership will have positive outcomes in other areas.
Yeah, that's all really, really good advice, practical things that we can all do. I noticed that you left something off the list, and it's something I feel strongly about, and I know that you do too, and that's running for office. So it's a great way to affect change and serve our country, no matter what level you serve at. I think a lot of people are hesitant to run or cynical about the political process, but I know, Ron, that you served on your city council early in your career, and that's a great example of getting involved in that process. So tell us a little bit about that experience and why it was important to you to participate.
Well, sure, it was a formative experience in my life. So I was 20 years old, and I looked around my hometown and realized nobody could come home. They'd gone to college, and there was no jobs to come home to. And so I didn't know kind of whose fault or responsibility it was. I just knew that something had to be done, and there was a city council election, and so I ran for office, and I will fully acknowledge that, you know, I ran for office three times. I won by landslides all three times. I mean, I killed it. Of course, nobody ran against me. So, you know, it's 100% of the vote. You know, I probably should have got a friend to vote against me, so I couldn't say that, but 100% of the vote. But it was a great experience. So at 21, I was elected. I served the last 3 years as the mayor pro tem. So under the Missouri system, that's the president of the council. So the council each year elects their leader. And so at age 24, I was the senior most councilman, and I had responsibilities for budget and management and personnel issues at the city that really gave me a great perspective of what it's like to answer to a constituency of people who you may not agree with their needs, wants, and desires, but they helped elect you, and you have a moral responsibility to represent them. So it was one of the great experiences of my life, and I encourage people to do that. Run for city council or school board or township or whatever that kind of entry-level position is, and be the voice for people who otherwise may not have a voice and simply don't know how to have a voice. And I guarantee you, you'll also learn and build your own leadership from there.
Well, we're gearing up, I think, for a year of some hardcore campaigning. The commercials will start, the mailers, the door knocking, the debates, especially going from 2015 to 2016 with a presidential election coming up. So what leadership advice would you give maybe to those candidates who are running now or any leader looking to be elected to public office sometime in the future?
If you don't respect your opponent, why would I believe you'd ever respect me? If you don't respect the man or woman standing to your right or left in a debate, why would I believe you'd ever respect me as a constituent? So if you want my vote, if you want the votes of the people who are in my sphere of influence, then absolutely you've got to show levels of respect that go beyond societies. I was really disappointed that the day Hillary Clinton announces, I didn't see emails sent to me or web postings or Facebook that said, wow, isn't it awesome that she's running? Whether you agree with it or not, it takes a courage and level of respect we owe somebody to announce that you're running for president. But I didn't see those. You know, my home state's Missouri, where we've just seen tragedy of a statewide public official who committed suicide because of the hate postings online and the whisper campaigns and an active campaign to discredit this person simply because his forefathers were Jewish. If that's the world we're living in, why would anybody run for office? But more importantly, why are we allowing that as electors? Why are we allowing that as citizens? And I think we have to say stop. And so my advice to those listening is you've got to say stop. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear what you're for, not what somebody else is against. And I want to know how you're going to make the world better for people today, and you're going to make this a country that 100 years from now is better for the world.
Well, we've talked at length before about qualities that make a great leader, and one of those basic tenets is respecting others. So that basic tenet of leadership should apply to the political sphere as well. There's no reason that should be any different. So great advice. I love hearing your passion on the subject. Let's transition and try to end with something a little bit lighter. Let's see if I can pull this off. So since we did just celebrate the 4th of July, and like I said before, it's seriously one of my favorite holidays, what do you typically do to celebrate the 4th? Do you have family traditions that you do consistently? Do you grill out, spend the day on the lake? What does a 4th of July look like for the Kitchens family?
So we, as you mentioned, and as I think the listeners know, I live on a little inland lake, not large, but it's you can have a little pontoon boat on it. And so our lake has this tradition of this great 4th of July boat parade, and it is a slice of Americana. It is homemade decorations, and it is kids with sparklers, and it is one of those things that absolutely feeds my soul to see people and families out enjoying themselves. So we have a group of friends that we meet up with, and at 10 o'clock on the 4th of July, we have brunch out on the lake. So everybody ties their pontoons together, and you walk from boat to boat, and there's all kinds of hors d'oeuvres and snacks and breakfast, and it's a bit of a competition to see who can come up with the funnest, coolest thing to eat. And then fireworks that night over the water. And it is one of the great things. And I said my brother came up from San Antonio, Texas this year. And so we got to spend time with he and his family. And as leaders, sometimes we forget what's important. We want to talk about our bottom lines of our organizations and the success metrics and managing people and wellness. But we forget in the end, it's about the people you love, the people you serve, and who are those folks that are going to be there to mourn you and say great things about you in the end, and gathering them together and celebrating, creating memories that last a lifetime. And so this 4th of July was one of those.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.
Thanks for listening into the podcast. If you want to take your leadership to the next level, I recommend anything by John Maxwell. He's written numerous books, leadership resources, and they're all packed with great wisdom. I can't tell you the things I use on a daily basis, really over the last 20 years, that I've garnered from John and his leadership, and I encourage you to follow John and to read as much as you can.